Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. You know the voice. Give me the name.
I give birth to my visions. Life is so fantastic. It will come as no surprise.
Keep listening.
Cause every day is adventures in paradise. Woven well through the fabric of.
Yes, you called it. Minnie Riperton.
I believe I am free. Let it free me. That ain't the only way of getting past the jam. And every day.
A positive song about excelling in life. Can you dream? She calls her dreaming Adventures in Paradise. That's the title of the song, Adventures in Paradise. All right, this is one of the songs for this week in song. Who says Minnie Riperton can only sing ballads, love songs? All right, we are going to be hearing more from her throughout this hour. Remember, we heard Loving You yesterday. Today, Adventures in Paradise. All right, now, we're going to have an open discussion a little bit later on in the afternoon. Open discussion, in other words, the discussion will be about something that was not on the schedule. So we're just kind of looking around, not necessarily locally, not necessarily nationally. It may be, but maybe not. When it's open, we just look around and decide, hey, you know what? This is interesting. Let's talk about this. So we're going to have an open discussion later on in this hour. Everyone who can stay with me till then, stay with me. And I want you to think through and talk through the discussion that we'll have later this afternoon. For now, let's resume our discussion of opportunity zones, taking a look at how the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, and again, I'll just call them Center for short, is telling us it's going to play out. Of course, we get excited, as I've said before, when we hear about opportunity zones, because we see this as a win-win, a situation that will be good for whatever businesses, whatever people do business there, but also as a win for the people who already live in those zones, those opportunity zones. Well, based largely on the 2017 tax law, the center is saying this may not be such a win for the people who live in those zones. They say that many of the requirements for running opportunity zones, for doing business in opportunity zones, are ambiguous. This is where we left off before. One rule that requires that opportunity zone businesses derive at least half of their overall income from an active business that is located in an opportunity zone. Here's the thing. Neither the law nor the proposed regulations define the terms derive or active business. This ambiguity creates a wealth of opportunities for fund managers to game the system as they plan their investment structures, such as by stretching the boundaries of what the term active business really means. In addition, and they're going to go into this a little bit more later on, opportunity zone investment may not significantly benefit low-income communities, which are supposedly the target of the opportunity zones. Whether the zone funds own assets directly, acquire ownership shares in opportunity zone businesses, or some combination of the two. So let's take a look at this whole issue of opportunity zones and their connection with their relationship to the neediest places. Since policymakers enacted the 2017 tax law, governors and the District of Columbia's mayor have designated about 8,700 opportunity zones in states and territories, including Puerto Rico. Governors who have now completed the selection process had to choose most of these zones from localities that qualify as low-income communities, meaning that they either have a poverty rate of at least 20% or a median income that's no greater than 80% of the median income in their metropolitan area. So this definition of low-income community is broad. In fact, it's broad enough to include some areas that are not truly distressed, such as areas adjacent to some elite colleges. For example, the University of Virginia and the University of California at Berkeley, where a large concentration of students skews the income data. Furthermore, the law lets governors designate a subset of areas that are adjacent to a low-income community and have a median income of no more than 125% of the median income of the adjacent low-income community. So as a result, they could designate as opportunity zones a number of areas that many would not consider distressed, including Long Island City, where Amazon is moving one of its new headquarters, or at least was planning to, Long Island City. They can designate a subset of areas that are next to low-income communities. And the Republicans made sure that when they wrote the 2017 tax law, they wrote these components of it into the law so that people who are investing in opportunity zones, designating opportunity zones, could designate areas that they know are not low-income neighborhoods, that they know are not distressed areas, could also be considered to be opportunity zones. Opportunity zone advocates note that on average, designated opportunity zones have a higher poverty rate and lower household income than the national averages. But those averages mask an important fact. While most opportunity zones do face above average levels of economic distress, many of the selected tracts are relatively affluent or have other structural advantages that made them ripe for investment even before the new tax break was created. For example, Oakland, Los Angeles, and New York City were being gentrified at a fast rate. They've qualified as opportunity zones, as has part of the Las Vegas Strip, where a new NFL stadium is expected. While such areas as these may represent a small share of opportunity zones, the rules don't prohibit opportunity zone funds from investing exclusively in the most affluent zones. So these outlier zones could attract a significant share of the opportunity zone investment and come to account for a disproportionate share of the lost federal revenue. Interesting. Again, we have some of our lawmakers making sure that they devise the tax laws in such a way as to help the rich and to hurt the poor. Again, we must continually be asking ourselves, do they do this out of ignorance? Or do they do this because they are deliberately sabotaging processes intended to help those who need help the most? Minnie Riperton, singing with some energy.